Carbohydrates are something the Crow tribe has particularly taken to, resulting in some truly large individuals, including my friend Brandon White Buffalo and his uncle Virgil. And I had to admit that Lyndon Ironbow was at least in their league. He pointed at the travel mug in my hand with Boss Lady spiraled in pink cursive across the side. "That's my wife's mug." I nodded. "Yes, it is." "Did you have to fight her for it?" "No, and she filled it full of coffee for me, too." "You must have scared her, which is good, because she doesn't fight fair." He studied me. "You must not be a game warden, then."
"I am not."
He swung his legs out, lodging an enormous muck-covered boot on the fender.
"Then what are you?"
"Ward Longmire. I'm the sheriff down in Absaroka County."
"Wyoming?"
"Yep."
"What are you doing up here, Walt Longmire?"
"Asking some questions about Jeannie One Moon." He nodded, looking off into the distance.
"The Cheyenne girl?"
"Yes, sir."
"You find her?"
I stepped closer in between the two massive wheels.
"Unfortunately, no."
He nodded.
"My wife says she saw her that night, out by the mailbox."
I read that in the report and thought I'd follow up. "The weather was bad that night?"
"Terrible. One of those early nor'westers that came in at about 50 miles an hour took shingles off the roof."
He sat a little forward.
"Ethel, she's got a bladder the size of a pea and has to go to the ladies' room about 3 times a night. Better than a watchdog. Anyway, she comes back to bed and gets all covered up and says there's somebody standing out near the mailbox by the fence. I ask her if it's the Wicked Witch of the West, but she slaps my shoulder and says she's not kidding, that somebody is out there and I need to go take a look."
A tired sedan came down the gravel road and tooted its horn as Iron Bowl lifted a calloused hand before looking down at me.
"What's the Wyoming sheriff doing involved in all this?"
"I was asked to look into it by the tribal police over in L.D.
"Where?"
"Just what I get for trying to appear hip and in the know. Lame deer?"
"Oh."
He tipped his stained black cowboy hat back on his wide head.
"So I get dressed and go out to the kitchen where you can flip on the back porch light and see the mailbox, and there's nobody there. Well, not wanting to waste the trip, I pull the carton of ice cream out of the freezer and get a spoon and take a few bites before putting it back."
He stopped talking and stared at the shiny fender of the combine, studying the reflection of the low-angled sun in the dark paint. "Mr. Iron Bull?" He looked up at me almost as if he'd forgotten I was there. "Are you all right?" He took off his sunglasses and held them in one hand, twirling them by the earpiece.
"I didn't tell this to them."
"I don't think the police care about the ice cream, honestly."
"No, what I'm about to tell you, I didn't tell them. Them being white men and all."
I smiled. "I'm white."
"Yeah, but you've seen things."
He cocked his head back and studied me.
"I read about you, Mr. Sheriff Man. You see, us Iron Bulls are related to the White Buffaloes, and I read about you."
I said nothing. "When I was putting that carton back in the freezer that night, I saw some movement out of the corner of my eye. You know, something you're not sure if you really saw or not."
"I know exactly what you mean." "So I grab my coat and hat, and I go out there into this gale looking for whoever might be out there. We get them sometimes, people whose cars break down out on the highway or just get loose, drunk, looking for some place to hole up till the weather passes."
"Sure." He scrubbed a hand across his face.
"You going to drink that cup of coffee?"
"No." Smiling again, I retrieved it from the post and walked over, handing it up to him. He held it to his face, allowing the steam to soften his features before taking a long sip.
"When I got out to the mailbox, the gate was hanging open and slapping against the fence. Now, you can say the wind did it, but I think it was more than that."
He took another sip.
"The snow was blowing sideways, those little flakes that look and feel like beads."
"Yep."
"Grabbing hold of the gate, I looked down, and there were prints. Small ones, I mean, smaller than mine, which could have been anyone."
He smiled.
"I remember very clearly because the little seed bead flakes were filling up the prints."
"Boot prints?"
"No. You could see the treads. They were sneakers. You know, basketball shoes."
"You were sure of that?" He gestured toward the folder under my arm.
"It's in that report. It was wet, but the snow was hard, and trying to erase the prints, that's what I remember thinking. The storm is trying to make this girl disappear."
"You knew it was a girl.
How?" "I don't know. Maybe the size, but I think it was just a feeling.
But all of that is in the deposition."
"I'm about to tell you the part that isn't."
He sipped the coffee again, and then threw a thumb over his shoulder toward the field. Standing there in the wind and holding onto the gate in my hat, I see something out there in the pasture. A shape, almost like something is there, but not something, more like the lack of something, like the snow and wind won't occupy the space that this, whatever it is taken up. You know what I mean?
I think so, yep.
So I'm standing there looking into the space, and all of a sudden it waves to me, waves for me to come over and follow it, wherever it's going.
He stared at the fender again.
I ain't scared of much, Mr. Sheriff, man. But I'll be damned if I was going to follow that thing, whatever it was.
I can't say that I blame you, considering the weather conditions.
The hell with the weather. I wouldn't have followed that thing in broad daylight.
What did you do?
Went inside and went back to bed. I didn't sleep a damned wink.
He sipped his coffee again.
About a week later, I came out to check on this same field. It was late in the afternoon, and the mist was coming off the creek down there and was filling up the bottom land the way it does. Well, I walked to the edge of the fog, and everything looks good, so I turn and start heading home when I get this cold feeling running up my back, like somebody ran a finger up my spine. I mean, really, like I could feel it in my skin all the way down to the bone.